Welcome to Illuminated Lamb, where we discuss the themes of Christ and light as found in the scriptures. I'd like to ask you a question. Are you a secret Christian? If we're trying to answer that in a 21st century context, there are a few things we might be thinking of. One of them could be where somebody is a believer yet living in a country or an environment, either politically or religiously or culturally, that not only frowns on Christian practice, in many cases, it is simply illegal. We can also find here in my own home country, the United States, certain professions, academically, for example, in which mentioning to someone that you're a Christian believer can actually act as something of a barrier to growth in the academic community as a result. We do find an example in the New Testament of somebody who was a secret believer. In John chapter 19, verse 38, we read, "After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission." What I'd like to explore today is not so much a 21st century understanding of what a secret Christian would be. I'm looking to explore this from a 17th century English Puritan background. The English Puritans had a rather interesting way of describing the spiritual practices of believers. They put them into three different categories: public, private, and secret. A public duty was one that was considered to be a spiritual practice, which was practiced on a large scale of other beings, other people with us. You could think of a church service as an example of a public duty. There were also private duties in which there were small groups of believers getting together. This could be, for example, a family having a time of family worship. It could be, in our context in the early 21st century, something similar to a small group meeting or a small group Bible study. A solitary duty was one that was done in solitude by yourself, and the only one with you was the Lord Jesus Christ in his presence. As we're discussing this, I want to discuss for us in our early 21st century terms the importance of solitude. We live in a Western culture which, in my opinion, takes us away from a mindset of going away from other people to think, to have mental and spiritual and emotional downtime. We live in a very hyper-connected, very digitally distracting culture, and it can be very difficult for us to think in terms of the value of this in our lives and with our being reset spiritually and emotionally and mentally, being of benefit to other people as well. When you read through the literature about what the 17th century Puritans were doing concerning their understanding of secret duties, they had long lists. I think I've counted over 10 or so practices, and that might even be a short list. I don't want to go over such a long list. I do want to go over some what I consider to be basics or core practices that one could do as, the way the Puritans defined it, a secret duty. First, I want to talk about Scripture and our ability to be able to read Scripture on our own. And I really hope that we can understand what a privilege that is for us to do, for those of us, let's say, in a Western culture, English-speaking culture. We have access to Scripture in print, through any number of different apps, through online resources, and we have the ability to read and intake Scripture in ways that our spiritual ancestors could only have dreamt of. So it's something I highly recommend. Please make sure that when you are spending that alone time with Christ, that you are carving out the time to read Scripture on your own. You have a great privilege being a 21st century Christian. There's also what is considered to be the practice of prayer as a secret duty, and this would be practiced in solitude. We find certain examples of that in Scripture. We find the Lord Jesus doing this in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place and there he prayed. We find other references in the Gospels to where the Lord Jesus went off somewhere else to pray by himself, to pray to his Father. And again, keeping in mind that if the Lord Jesus sensed the need of doing that in terms of a prayer practice, how much more so should we be following that practice? We not only find Christ's example of his praying on his own, he gives his followers, gives us an explicit command about how to do the same kind of thing. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. We find another secret duty which the Puritans spoke about was that of meditation. And they had two different paths that they would follow in doing this. One of them was meditation on the Word. They find this mentioned in Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, which read, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." A second path to biblical meditation, which the Puritans held to, was the idea of meditation not just on the Word, but on God's works in nature. We find an example of this in Psalm 8, starting in verse 3. "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" The Puritans believed in these spiritual duties quite heavily. We find that there is an echo of this with so much of what has been called the spiritual disciplines or spiritual formation movement that has grown from the late 20th century right up into our time. And I want to stress the importance of getting back to basics when it comes to a individual solitary practice of things such as scripture reading, such as prayer, such as reflection. I believe that they are vital to our growth. And as the Puritans have those three different levels of duties of public, private, and secret, I believe that all three of those are so necessary for our growth in the things of Christ. I believe that all of these provide us a form of spiritual, emotional, and mental reset as we go through our lives. And especially in the early 21st century, I think we can use more and more ways to help, for lack of a better term, help calm us down and to have a mind which is possessed by the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding. I've written a book which I call The Capsule. It is intended to be a devotional help so that when you're having your times alone with the Lord, that it gives some ideas about how you can approach this time, the mindset behind it, places where you could go, for example, actually maybe perhaps praying outdoors, giving you some ways of being able to approach the way you do devotions. And I'd like to recommend that book to you. It is available on Amazon in print, ebook, and audiobook format. It's on a number of platforms. I can suggest Amazon just immediately right offhand. And hopefully you would find this to be of great benefit to you. Where I'd like to go with all this to end it is to ensure that we are not looking at things such as what the Puritans referred to as the secret duties as things to basically check off of a list, something we might do daily or weekly. Unfortunately, some of our spiritual practices might lend themselves to that. If, for example, you are in a one-year Bible study or 1 year of reading through the scripture and you may have your checklist, it's good to be able to keep track where you're at. Unfortunately, I think there can be times, and I know that there has been a time or two where I fell into this, where I was doing what I was doing mainly to do the checking off of the list rather than saying, yeah, here's a portion of God's word for today that I should be reflecting on, that I should be praying over. So I, again, highly recommend that you guard your approach to these spiritual duties, that they don't become ends in themselves, but they become means to an end. And the end or the goal that I'd like to suggest with all of these is rather simple. It's not to accumulate a whole lot of knowledge, although that can be helpful. Again, it's not to check off boxes on a checklist. It's to have a simple time of community and fellowship quietly with Christ, to commune with Him. I think we find a good summary of that in Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28. The Lord Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Especially in light of the fact that I am referring to some of the Puritans' emphases on secret duties, on things such as scripture reading, on prayer, on meditation, I'd like to close with a verse from the Old Testament that has something of an echo of what the Lord Jesus says in the passage I just read from Matthew 11. In Jeremiah 6:16, we read, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls." I pray that these practices will help you ultimately to have that sense of true quiet time of communing with Christ, and in the meantime, to find rest and peace for your soul.